Sankirtan Yogya ki, Shirinam Sankirtan ki, Samaveda Bhakta Vrinda ki, Gopinananda. Glorious to the Sambal devotees, glorious to the Sambal devotees, glorious to the Sambal devotees, glorious to Shri Guru Shivananda. Sanskrit, and we can do the word for word translation and then comment. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Namam karmani limpanti name karma pale spriha itimam yobijanati kamabirna sabadyate na. Never. Mam, me. Karmani, all kinds of work. Limpanti, na, me. Karmapale. Spriha. Iti. Mam.
Engem.
Ya.
Oki.
Abhijanati. Karmabi. Na, sa, bhadyate. Translation. There is no work that affects me, nor do I aspire for the fruits of action. One who understands this truth about me also does not become entangled in the fruitive reactions of work. Purport. As there are constitutional laws in the material world stating that the king can do no wrong, or that the king is not subject to the state laws, similarly the Lord, although he is the creator of this material world, is not affected by the activities of the material world.
Az anyagi világban vannak alkotmányos törvények, miszerint a király nem hibázhat, és az állam törvényei sem kötik. Ehhez hasonlóan annak ellenére, hogy az Úr teremtette az anyagi világot, őt nem befolyásolja a működése.
Creates and remains aloof from the creation, whereas the living entities are entangled in the fruitive results of material activities because of their propensity for lording it over material resources. The proprietor of an establishment is not responsible for the right and wrong activities of the workers, but the workers are themselves responsible.
Egy
living entities are engaged in their respective activities of sense gratification, and these activities are not ordained by the Lord. For advancement of sense gratification, the living entities are engaged in the work of this world, and they aspire to heavenly happiness after death. The Lord, being full in Himself, has no attraction for so-called heavenly happiness. The heavenly demigods are only His engaged servants. The proprietor never desires a low-grade happiness such as the workers may desire. He is aloof from the material actions and reactions. For example, the rains are not responsible for different types of vegetation that appear on the earth, although without such rains there is no possibility of vegetative growth. Vedic Smriti confirms this fact as follows. Nibbatam matram eva sao shvijyanam sargakamani pradhana karani bhuta yatovai sinjasaptaya. In the material creations, the Lord is only the supreme cause. The immediate cause is material nature, by which the cosmic manifestation is made visible. The created beings are of many varieties, such as the demigods, human beings, and lower animals, and all of them are subject to the reactions of their past good or bad activities. The Lord only gives them the proper facilities for such activities and the regulations of the modes of nature, but He is never responsible for their past and present activities. In the Vedanta Sutra 2.1.34, it is confirmed, Vaishamya Narghimye Na Sapikshatvat. The Lord is never partial to any living entity. The living entity is responsible for His own acts. The Lord only gives Him facilities for the agency of material nature, the external energy. Anyone who is fully conversant with all the intricacies of this law of karma or fruit of activities does not become affected by the results of his activities. In other words, the person who understands this transcendental nature of the Lord is an experienced man in Krishna consciousness, and thus he is never subjected to the laws of karma. One who does not know the transcendental nature of the Lord, and who thinks that the activities of the Lord are aimed at fruitive results, as are the activities of the ordinary living entity, certainly becomes entangled himself in fruitive reactions. But one who knows the Supreme Truth is a liberated soul fixed in Krishna consciousness. The translation to the verse again is, there is no work that affects me, nor do I aspire for the fruits of action. One who understands this truth about me also does not become entangled in the fruit of the action.
Aki leérkezik a sajátoron, az szintén nem tudja megtenni a zsidó szintesen.
Om Agyanati Manandasya Agyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmiritam Nina Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Vokam Karoti Vachalam Pangam Dangayate Gari Nyat Kripatamaham Bande Shri Gunanjitam Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tinamane Namaste Sarasvati Devi Gaurvani Pacharanye Yivishesha Sanyavari Vastucha Desitarane Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasari Gaurav Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare So in this verse Krishna is explaining how he is transcendental to this material world. Anyone who understands how Krishna is transcendental will also become transcendental to this material world. First thing that Krishna is saying is that I'm not affected by any types of work. Nor do I aspire for any fruits of work. In other words, what Krishna is saying is that Krishna doesn't get any reactions to what he does. He's independent. He can do as he wishes to do, and he is not under the stringent laws of material nature. As are the living entities who are bound by the laws of material nature. They are affected by the reactions of their work. Or they may be affected by not working. One way or another, the living entities who are bound by the laws of material nature must accept reactions to their activities. For instance, we may say, we don't want to work. But the living entity who is encaged in a temporary physical body, he is bound to have to perform some type of work. That is because he is dependent. He is not self-sufficient. The Supreme Lord is self-sufficient. He is aptakama. He is atmarama. He is self-sufficient and self-satisfied. He has everything that he needs within himself. For him, there is no lack. But for the living entities, because they are parts and parcels of the Supreme Lord, they are naturally dependent upon the Lord. They cannot exist just as the rays of the sun cannot exist without the sun. They cannot exist without Krishna. So, the constitutional position of the living being is to be fully dependent upon the will of the Lord. When the living entity gives up his dependence upon the Lord, then he becomes bound by the reactions of his work within the material world. And because he is not self-sufficient and self-satisfied, he is also dependent upon others for his necessities of life. We're dependent for the air that we breathe, dependent for the water that we drink. Everything that is provided for the maintenance of the living entity within of this material world is provided by the Supreme Lord. And there are administrative demigods who are in charge of various aspects of creation, who provide the necessities of life to the embodied soul. Therefore, because the living entity who is in the material world is not self-sufficient, he must perform some type of activity, prescribed activity, in order to obtain the necessities of life. Krishna describes the characteristic of the spirit soul, that there's no question of him being inactive even for a moment. What is the activity of the soul? It's desire. Every living entity has desire and cannot obliterate it. Those who desire the enjoyment of this world, and Krishna says, Yagyatat Kamanonyata Lokayam Kamabandana, work performed as a sacrifice for the Supreme Lord Vishnu has to be performed, otherwise work will bind one to this material world. Therefore, perform your prescribed duties for his satisfaction, and that way you will remain unattached and freed from bondage. Krishna is saying that one has to perform yajna, one has to perform sacrifice. And in the material world, one has to perform some work as a means of sacrifice for satisfying the Supreme Lord. So therefore, the living entity is bound by his fruitive activities when he works in the consciousness of satisfying himself. But when one works in the consciousness of satisfying the Supreme Lord, then he becomes freed from bondage. That is the difference between the living, minute living entity, the conditioned soul, and the Supreme Lord. The Supreme Lord is saying in this verse, I'm not bound. I'm self-sufficient. I don't become affected if I say I'm not going to work. You may say, I'm not going to do anything. I don't want to work. Work is the cause of so much frustration and anxiety and distress. So if you say, I'm going to give up work, then okay, you can give up work, but who's going to put food on your table? Who's going to keep the electricity on? In other words, we're dependent, and therefore we're forced to work because we're dependent beings. As long as one has a physical body, he has to perform some type of work. Of course, one may be a very, very, very wealthy person. He may not have to work. But he's still bound. Such a wealthy person is bound by the reactions of all of his activities because they're aimed at sense enjoyment. It's like Prabhupada used to quote that verse, I can't remember the Sanskrit, where it says that he talks about I can't remember the verse. Anyways, it talks about the prince, may you live a long life. Oh, Brahmachari, may you die now. And Sadhu, may we live, and live or die, it doesn't make any difference. And the butcher, don't live and don't die. He gives the example, these four personalities. He says, the prince, he has so much wealth. He says, may you live a long life. Because you'll live a long life and you'll enjoy your wealth, your majestic opulences. But after you die, you're going to have to suffer. So may you live a long life.
Ezeket azt mondja, hogy én hosszú életet, mert annyi királyi gazdagságot tud élvezni, de mit kell meg, ha szenvednie kell majd, úgyhogy ezt mondja neki, hogy éljen sokáig.
When the brahmachari, you're performing austerities, living very simply, life is so simple. So while you're living simply and not entangled in any fruit of activities, may you die now. Of course, the recommendation, of course, is not we should not take this literally, that the brahmachari should endeavor for to die immediately. But the emphasis is while you're living so simply, and you're on the risk of getting entangled more and more and more, and in the future, better you don't get entangled. And for the sadhu, it doesn't make any difference whether he lives or whether he dies. If he lives, he's detached. He's fixed in Krishna consciousness. He's satisfied. If he dies, he goes back to the spiritual world. And for the butcher, don't live because you're causing so much suffering to other living entities. And don't die either, because you're going to suffer so much for all the suffering you're causing to them. Anyways, we were speaking about the example of the prince, may you live a long life. A wealthy person, he may enjoy all his opulences, but at the end of his life, Prabhupada says, nothing. He takes nothing with him except his sinful reactions. That's the only thing he can take with him. So may you live a long life. So it doesn't matter whether one is in wealth or whether one is in poverty. In fact, the verse in the Bhagavatam describes the saiva hito prayatita kovito. Persons who are actually intelligent and philosophically inclined, they do not endeavor for happiness from the highest planet, Brahmaloka, down to the Patala Loka. Because they know that happiness which is derived from sense enjoyment will come automatically in due course of time. Just as in due course of time, miseries will come without asking for them. Persons who are intelligent and philosophically inclined, they do not endeavor for worldly opulences. They simply understand how to live in this world and without becoming attached.
Az intelligens filozófiai beállítottságú emberek nem törekszenek a anyagi gazdagságra, pusztán úgy akarnak élni ebben a világban, hogy ne ragaszkodjanak.
They know how to work in this world because they know the transcendental position of the Lord.
Tudják, hogy hogyan kell ebben a világban cselekedni, mert ismerik az Úr transzcendentális helyzetét.
And therefore they do not become entangled in the fluid of reactions of their world.
Ezért nem bonyolódnak bele a világban a tettek.
Just as the Lord never becomes entangled. We become entangled if we, in the reactions of our work, if we work for sense enjoyment. Or if we don't work, we can also have to accept the reactions. Because we are dependent. But Krishna doesn't have to work. There's no reaction of Krishna's. In fact, Krishna doesn't have to do anything. Not only does Krishna does not have to work, but for him there is no activities he has to do at all. That's the verse is explained in the Vishnu Purana. For the Supreme Lord, there is nothing for him to do. And there is no one who is equal to him or no one who is greater than him. Because everything is done very naturally and systematically through his multifarious energies. So, if we did not have anything that we had to do, what would we do? Think about it. You know, there's so many things. We have duties we have to perform. Because we're not self-sufficient. One may voluntarily accept austerities and accept duties in life because he's thinking in terms of his long-range life. Prabhupada talks about the difference between shreyas and preyas. Shreyas means activities which are beneficial for the future. And preyas means activities which are performed for the immediate fruit, immediate enjoyment. And he gives the example of just like the young child. The young child who goes to school, he's told by his parents, go to school because you have to think of your future. Then the young child says, no, I do not want to go to school. I want to play. I don't want to go to school. So that is prayas. He's thinking of the immediate, but in the future he will suffer because he didn't get an education. Shreyas is the long-term activity for one's ultimate benefit. Therefore, we voluntarily accept duties that we perform in this life because we understand they're meant for purification. As Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, one who acts according to his whim, for him there is no happiness in this life. No happiness, no perfection, nor does he achieve the supreme destination. And that is the result of the person who acts according to his whim and does not follow the scriptural injunctions. No happiness, no perfection, nor does he attain the supreme destination. Therefore, one must perform his prescribed duties for one's own purification. Therefore, we voluntarily accept certain prescribed duties so that we can live in this world and ultimately achieve our ultimate destination. And that is a type of work. Accepting one's prescribed duties according to one's particular psychophysical nature is he's working according to his particular status in life. And everyone knows what happens if I say, okay, I do not want to perform any duties. Therefore, the intelligent person will voluntarily accept a particular type of work and will perform duties because he knows there'll be a reaction if he doesn't. So, but if we didn't have to do those duties, what would we do? Can anyone tell me? If you didn't have activities that you had to do, you would perform activities that you wanted to do. It's very simple. Everyone always has their list of things that they want to do, and they're waiting for the day they can get to do it. Everybody keeps lists like that. Either they put it down on paper or they keep it in the back of their mind. Yeah, when I get this done and get that done and I finish with this and finish with that, then this is what I really want to do. But sometimes we never even get to that point. But we do get to the point that we realize I don't have enough time for doing it. And then we see that by the nature of our responsibilities, we're forced to go back to the things that we have to do. But Krishna doesn't have to do anything. Therefore, what does Krishna do? Everything does is what he wants to do. Because he doesn't have to work. That's what he's saying in this verse. He's saying there's no work that affects me, nor do I aspire for the fruits of work, of action. He's saying I don't become implicated in any kind of work at all. I simply enjoy. One might come be thinking, why is Krishna the person who simply enjoys, and why is me? Why I am the one who has to do something? But what does Krishna enjoy? Krishna enjoys serving his devotees. That's Krishna's enjoyment. Krishna's enjoyment is actually giving pleasure to those who are fully dependent upon him. These are his eternal pastimes. This is what he does eternally in the spiritual world with his eternal associates. He's simply enjoying. But what is he enjoying? He's enjoying, reciprocating with the loving attitude of his devotees who love him with unalloyed love and devotion. He says, for those who worship me with prayers and who are bound by my majestic features, I do not become subordinate to them. But when my devotee thinks that he is superior to me or equal to me, he said, then I become subordinate to him. Just like Mother Jasoda, she thinks Krishna is completely dependent upon him, dependent upon her. She thinks she has to take care of Krishna. He's dependent upon me. If I don't feed him, he'll be hungry. If I don't watch out for his mischievous activities, he's going to get himself in trouble. She was thinking that if I don't bind him to this grinding mortar, certainly he's going to go off and get himself in more and more trouble. So Mother Jasoda is thinking that Krishna is dependent upon me. And Krishna's friends say to Krishna, what kind of big man do you think you are? Don't you know that you and I are equal? When Krishna was holding Govardhan Hill, all the cowherd boy, her friends, were saying, why don't you switch it over to Sridham and let him hold it for a while? They were thinking that they were equal to Krishna. And sometimes they jump on Krishna's back, thinking they're equal to him, because they think they're equal to Krishna. And they run up from behind and they put their hands over Krishna's eyes. And they say, guess who this is? They can do this because they actually think themselves equal to the Supreme Lord. Because they don't see him in terms of his majestic features. And how does the Supreme Lord reciprocate with them? He actually becomes totally controlled by their love. This is how the Lord enjoys. Therefore, the Lord doesn't have to work, although he does take the calves out every morning and takes the calves out to the pasturing ground. Of course, Krishna, he plays as a young cowherd. His pastime is as a young cowherd boy who takes the calves out to the pasturing ground with his cowherd boyfriends. But even his calves and cows that he takes out are all his unalloyed devotees. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains in the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam that Krishna calls out each one of his cows every day by their names, each one of their names. Nanda Maharaj had 900,000 cows. Of course, Krishna didn't take all the cows out to pasture. Up to the age of 5, he took the calves, and then after 5, he started taking some of the cows out to pasture. But the cows were all his pure unalloyed devotees. In the spiritual world, everything is Krishna's pure unalloyed devotee, and Krishna is simply enjoying it. And therefore, Krishna, as he says in Bhagavad Gita, Yeyatamam Prabhajante Tangsatava Vajamyaham, as they surrender unto me, I reward them accordingly. Everyone is following my path in all respects, O son of Pritha. So essentially, the point that Krishna is making in this verse is he's explaining that he is not responsible for the living entities' reactions to their work in this world. He's aloof to their activities. The material nature is already set up in such a way so the living entity gets the fulfillment of his desires according to what he desires. If he desires to engage in fruitive activities in the material world, then the material world will bind him under the laws of material nature. Vishwanath Chakravarti gives the example of the bumblebees in the sun. By the rays of the sunshine, the lily flowers, they open and they close. And the bees suffer and enjoy because of the opening and closing of the lilies. But their suffering and enjoyment is not the responsibility of the sun. It is simply because the lily is opening and closing by the influence of the sun's rays. This example is also given of the judge who is neutral. And by his decision, some persons are being rewarded and some persons are being punished. Example is also given like the government. The government, it has its judicial department.
But
the government is supposed to be equal to all the citizens. But still the different departments make different decisions which sometimes punish and sometimes reward persons. So the Lord, He is above all of that. He is neutral. He is not responsible for the good and bad activities of the material world. He is not bound by the dualities of the material world. Dvaite bhadra bhadra gan sabha manodhamma e bala e manda e sabha brahma. And this verse is spoken by Lord Chaitanya. He says, in the material world, conceptions of good and bad, they are all mental speculation. Therefore, to say this is good and this is bad is all a mistake. In the material world, everyone is under the influence of the dualities of the material world. This is described by Lord Chaitanya as manodhamma. If we translate it manodhamma literally, it means the religion of the mind. The religion of the manodhamma means accepting and rejecting on the basis of sense enjoyment. The Bhagavatam gives the example of the person, just like a person at night who has desirable dreams and horrible dreams. He says the conditioned souls, they sometimes have these desirable dreams and sometimes have horrible dreams, but because they're identifying with the dualities of the material world,
az embereknek van, hogy nagyon kellemes álmaik vannak, és van, hogy szörnyű álmaik vannak, amivel az anyagi világ kettőségében azonosítják magukat.
They create a reality that has no existence beyond their own imagination.
Egy olyan valóságot hoznak létre, aminek nincs léte a saját.
Just like if we're having a bad dream. And it's really bad and we're suffering like anything
in the world.
And all of a sudden we wake up. And we realize it was only a dream. We're very happy. We feel great happiness. It was only a dream. And similarly, sometimes we may have very nice dreams. In that nice dream, we were getting so much, experiencing so much pleasure and happiness. And we're feeling so good about the situation that is happening in that dream. And then we wake up. And then we're sad. Oh, it was only a dream. It really didn't happen. So both the happiness and sadness was connected to a dream. It had nothing to do with reality. We're feeling so much attached to the happiness or to the sadness which was connected to the dream. So it's the same thing with the night dreams, it's the same thing with the daydreams. A person may desire something or he might try to avoid something. He still creates a reality which has no existence beyond his imagination. The daydream is thinking about all the things that will bring us pleasure. And just the anticipation of all those things is giving us the initiative to go on. But then in due course of time, the daydream turns into a nightmare. So many times we've seen how these daydreams turn into nightmares. That is the nature of the material world. That we create a daydream of something we like to have, and then we see how it turns into a nightmare, and then we want to avoid it, give it up. It's like when we think, oh, if only I was married. I'd be much better situated if I was married. And then everyone experiences after the marriage. Oh, so much headaches. And there's so many things they try to avoid. You know, but they're bound. They have to perform. So there are the night dreams and the daydreams. Then both of these are the dualities of the material world. Therefore, the recommendation is that the tendency of the mind is to accept and reject on the various activities on the basis of sense gratification. Therefore, the intelligent person must restrict these tendencies of the mind, the illusions. Of seeing things separate from Krishna. And then, with such a controlled mind, you will actually experience actual fearlessness in this world. So we have to restrict the mind from seeing things separate from the Supreme Lord. Just like Krishna tells Brahma, Brahma, whatever you see of any value, if it has no relationship to me, you should know that it's my Maya. It's that reflection which appears in the darkness. Well, Krishna is saying, if you think it's valuable, but you don't see its connection to me, then it's Maya. How could it be valuable if it's not connected to me? We think it's valuable because it's connected to ourselves. And therefore we place value on it. Yes, it's valuable because it'll make me happy. But Prahlad Maharaj says to his friends, he says, in the material world, every materialist is endeavoring for happiness and trying to diminish his distress. And therefore he acts accordingly. Actually, however, one is happy as long as he doesn't endeavor for happiness. Because as soon as he makes his endeavors for happiness, immediately his conditions for distress will begin. As soon as he makes endeavors for happiness in the material world, he's creating all his future suffering. So he said, actually, the happy person is one who doesn't endeavor for happiness. Why is he happy? Because he sees everything in connection to the Lord. Just like, who is it? The beggar. Shuklambara Brahmachari. It's described that Shuklambara Brahmachari was, he used to go begging from door to door to the houses of the most impoverished people. And he would simply collect a few broken grains of rice and he would take that and make that his food for the day. He didn't go to the wealthy people, he went to the impoverished people and simply get small quantities of cracked rice and that was his food. And the worshippers of goddess Durga, they used to make fun of Shuklambara. Look at this beggar, how he's living. But Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur described that Shuklambara Brahmachari didn't even know the meaning of the word poverty. Why? He looked like a beggar to those who could see him from external point of view. But he didn't know the meaning of the word poverty because he was so satisfied. He was satisfied with whatever the Lord provided him. So much so that the Lord was very eager to take from the hands of Shuklambara Brahmachari and take that rice right out of his hands and eat it himself. So the point is that if we wish to transcend the dualities of the material world, we have to learn how to see Krishna in connection to everything. And therefore, anyone who understands Krishna and how he enjoys, and how he doesn't become bound to the reactions of work, he also will not become bound to the fruit of reaction. Because he'll understand that everything must be performed for the pleasure of the Lord. This is the nature of the transcendentalist in Krishna consciousness. And it is the essence of this verse of Bhagavad Gita. Okay, I think I'm a little bit late. Arctic has already started. We'll stop here. Thank you.